Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for this day. And Lord, as we hear your words this evening, we ask that they would touch our hearts, Lord, that we are reassured here this evening of that love that you have for us. And even though it is a mystery at times, that we fully understand the depth of your love when we look at the cross. Lord, we ask that you would block out a few of the distractions that we might have this evening so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I was preparing for this message and I looked at the title, The Witness of the Cross, Holy Space, this thought just came to my mind. It happened to us on our mission trip to Uganda this past summer. We were traveling, I believe we were going out to a village one day in one of the vans, and I don't even remember what we saw, but someone in the van said, "Holy cow!" And one of the guys that was with us, he was a Ugandan native, he looked at us and he laughed and he said, "What's this, holy cow?" And I don't know what was going through his mind because, I mean, there were cows standing on the side of the road all the time. But we had to explain to him that that was just an expression that we used in the United States to kind of express our amazement at something. And so as I saw this holy space, that holy cow kind of crossed my mind. And I thought, you know, when we see holy space, what do we think of? And I'm going to say this evening, holy space, it's more than just an expression. It's actually something that we experience. And it's something that God, for all time, has always wanted all people to experience and will want all people in the future to experience as well. So if we look at holy space, I mean, I don't know what's running through your mind right now, if you can think of what you might call a holy space. But I want us to go back to the first holy space that's in the Bible. And I don't know if you can think of where that might be or not, but it goes all the way back to the very beginning. When God had created the heavens and the earth and everything in the world, the plants, the animals, and humans, Adam and Eve, after he created all of that, he looked at it and said, "This is very good." I mean, everything was enjoying a perfect relationship. Adam and Eve enjoyed a perfect, holy relationship with God Himself. And so that particular space that God had created was holy. I mean, He set that space up for Adam and Eve to live in and enjoy in communion with Him. But we know it didn't stay that way. It got messed up pretty quick. When Eve and Adam, when they ate that fruit of the forbidden tree, and I've thought about this, you know, they had one, "Thou shalt not." "Thou shalt not eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil." And they couldn't even keep that. And it always baffles my mind to wonder why God set up 10 more later on that, I mean, He knew we weren't going to be able to keep them, but they had that one command and they couldn't keep it. And so they were banished from the garden, from that holy space. And I'm going to say that we're going to see a pattern here that where God dwells, that's going to be a holy space. And where that holy space is means life for people. I mean, if you stop and think about it, that Garden of Eden was going to be a place that Adam and Eve would live for how long? Forever. That was the intention. But once they defiled that garden through sin, what happened? Death. Destruction came about. I mean, God said, if you eat of that tree, you will die. As we move forward, and I'm not in any way trying to point out every single holy space that's in the Old Testament, because you may even think of some in your mind right now that we're not going to talk about. But as we move forward, we think about Moses, who's out in the desert, in the wilderness, at Mount Horeb. He's He's watching the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro, and he sees this burning bush at a distance. And he's curious, right, because it's not burning up. And so he walks over to it, and what are the words that are spoken from that bush? Take off your sandals, for you are standing on what? Holy ground. The Lord was present there, and he called Moses to go to Egypt to bring the Israelite people out who were moaning and complaining about the harsh labor that the Egyptians had them under. And Moses goes, and we know the 10 plagues are brought about, and finally Pharaoh lets them go. Moses leads them through the parted Red Sea out into the wilderness. In the wilderness, the Lord instructs Moses to build a tabernacle. And we had a series on this a couple of years ago, I think, and the furnishings in that tabernacle. That tabernacle was a holy space, particularly the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was housed. And in that space is where Yahweh, the Lord, would come and personally meet with them. And it meant life for them. But we have an instance even with the tabernacle where the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, they defile that holy space. They offer up unsanctioned fires, incense in that space that they were not supposed to offer up. And I don't know if you remember what happens, but the Lord struck them down with fire. And so here we have an instance of that holy space being a place where Yahweh wants to give life, but when it's defiled, what happens? Death, destruction. We keep on going as the Israelites are in the wilderness. And I don't know if you remember this, but the Israelites, the Lord tells Moses to send one from each tribe, some spies into the promised land, the land of Canaan. The land he's going to give them, and just to look it out, just to spy it out, see what's going on there and what's there. And when they come back, well, it's incredible because they bring back pomegranates, figs, and I don't know, I've seen this in coloring pages for children too. This is how it's described in the Bible, that they're bringing back a cluster of grapes that they're carrying on a pole between two men. I picture these grapes must have been that big, you know, the cluster. I mean, it's an abundance, and the land is described as flowing with milk and honey. An incredible space. In fact, the conference that I went to, the presenter there actually posed something that I'd never really thought of or heard of before. And he posed the thought that the promised land was actually supposed to be, God was intending that to be the new Garden of Eden. Land was a very special thing for Yahweh. I mean, he always wanted to be with his people. And over time, as they kept defiling and he kept coming back to them, and then he brings them into this spacious land, this land that's flowing with milk and honey. All the fruits and the produce of the land. It was an incredible place, and it might have reminded them of the Garden of Eden as they had heard the story told. But what happens when they get to the promised land? They defile it. First, they're told to not intermarry. They're told to destroy everything that's in the land as they begin to conquer that space. They're told to destroy it. But they make a deal with some travelers, and that they kind of deceive them, but they make a deal with them that they won't destroy them. And sure enough, it was some people in the promised land. And so they begin to intermarry. Then all of a sudden, before they know it, they're worshiping the gods of the people of Canaan. The space has been defiled. And you know, this is exactly what God sent the prophets to proclaim to the Israelite people. It's what he sent Jeremiah to tell them. I want to reread we had a little bit of microphone trouble. I don't know if you heard the passage from Jeremiah. But Jeremiah chapter 2, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who ate of it incurred guilt, disaster came upon them, declares the Lord." And so we have really here in this first part, even Yahweh is pointing back to, you know, man, y'all were pretty faithful. You did what I told you to do, at least on occasion, right? But I mean, he's pointing them back to, you know, in your youth, you were excited about me and what I was doing. But then he goes on, "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the clans of the house of Israel, thus says the Lord. What wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless? They did not say, 'Where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that none passes through, where no man dwells? And I brought you into a plentiful land to enjoy its fruits and its good things. But when you came in, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination.'" The Israelites had in their presence all the time Yahweh, who wanted to give life, but yet they defiled the space. Destruction would come. They would be carried off into captivity. And as we think about this, is it pertaining to even our own lives? I said land, it was a big thing for God. I mean, he was wanting to provide them this holy space for them to live in and to have complete communion with God himself. But it just never worked out. Man is sinful. It always fell apart. And so if it's not a space now of land, where do we find that communion with God again? Where do we find that restoration? And it's in the holy space of the cross. Jesus came and suffered and died on the cross to bring that full restoration. And that is something that we enjoy fully. We enjoy the forgiveness that it brings. We enjoy the promise of eternal life that it has for us. And in the gospel reading for this evening, the John chapter 14, Jesus is preparing his disciples. He's getting them ready for his departure. And when he leaves, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place, I will come back and take you to be with me. When Jesus dies on the cross, he pays for the punishment of our sins. When he is raised to life from the tomb, he assures us and promises us of that eternal life that he's promising the disciples, that he's going to prepare that place for us. That will be the ultimate holy space. The new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. But until then, we still get to experience the holy space of the cross, where he came into this world and walked among us and lived among us, lived with us, and still walks beside us each day, going through us with our struggles and our challenges, reassuring us that the cross is where we meet him. He has forgiveness and life for us in that holy space. The cross is a witness of that holy space as we live in this world. I pray that we live in the assurance of that space where we have forgiveness and life. and that we are able to express that and share that with a dying and hurting world who desperately needs to know who Jesus is. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.